The Old House on the Corner, written by Maureen Lee and read by Maggie Ollerenshaw.
Saturday, the 7th of July, 2001. Chapter 1. Victoria looked out of her bedroom window at the new estate, where Makara Removals and Storage used to be. It was only a tiny estate, surrounded by a shiplap fence, and comprising just 7 houses. 2 mock black-beamed Tudor detached with 4 bedrooms each, a pair of red brick semis, and 3 small double-fronted bungalows, neatly rendered and painted white, set around a communal oval-shaped lawn with a freshly planted willow tree in the centre. To her left, out of sight, there was a row of garages, 1 for each house. Victoria's own house, more than a century older than its neighbours, was in a corner facing the road. The pretty garden was packed with sweet-smelling lavender, broom, and dazzling pink peonies, hidden behind a thick privet hedge. Golden ivy covered the walls and had curled itself around the chimneys. At only 6:30 on a beautiful July morning, a Saturday, all the curtains were closed, and there was no sign of life until 2 sparrows landed on the willow tree, madly fluttering their wings and making the lacy tendrils shiver delicately. She had wondered how the builders would persuade people to buy properties crammed so closely together. No front gardens, unless you counted the narrow strip of grass barely 2 feet wide, and not much behind either. But the new development had been christened Victoria Square, giving it a posh, exclusive sort of air, and all had been sold long before the building work was finished. 6 were occupied. 1 bungalow was empty and waiting for the new owners to move in. 3 even had names. The detached ones were called Hamilton Lodge and 3 Farthings, and 1 of the bungalows was Clematis Cottage. The tiny green shoots in tubs each side of the front door might well be baby clematis. Victoria couldn't tell from this distance. The remaining 4 properties were, so far, unnamed and making do with numbers. There were some faded photographs in the loft, a century old, showing the land when it had been like a miniature park, full of trees and shrubs and winding paths, and even a statue or two. This was before her great-granddad, Fraser Makara, had started a removal business and covered it with tons of concrete, leaving his wife only a fraction of her lovely garden. First, there'd been just 4 horses and 2 carts, but the firm had quickly expanded, until the horses and carts had trebled, and the animals were accommodated in a row of ramshackle stables. Not long after the First World War, the company had been equipped with lorries. There were photos in the loft of these too. Boxy, top-heavy vehicles parked at an angle in a neat row of 8 about a metre apart. The drivers wearing coat overalls and bowler hats and standing to attention beside their cabs. It was Makara Removals' claim that they were the first company of its kind in Liverpool to convert to mechanised transport. The stalls had been removed from the stables. Furniture instead of horses had been kept in the rundown building, and the words "and storage" added to the company name. "What would you say if you could see the place now, Gran?" Victoria mused aloud. "We should have done this ages ago. Think of all the money we would have had." Things had been tough since Grandad had died, leaving behind loads of debts that Gran had been determined to settle. Grandad hadn't had his father's flair for business. The company had been a burden he'd found too heavy to bear, and had been going steadily downhill for years. Something was happening in the square. 3 Farthings' front door had opened, and a woman emerged, clutching what looked like several envelopes. Victoria had become friends with the developer and knew most people's names. The woman was Mrs. Williams. Her husband was a motorcar salesman, and they'd just moved from a place called Lydiate on the outskirts of Liverpool. They had 2 children, a boy about 20 and a girl a bit younger.